I've never done this before, so he has many times.
Me neither. hola a todos.
Hi. You understood that, right?
Hola a todos. You know that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, hola.
Okay.
Great to be here.
Yes. Thank you for coming. It's a blessing to have you here. I consider a friend. I've learned a lot from him. He has a great ministry teaching the Word of God. But it wasn't always like that. So some of you may be familiar with him. Some of you have not. So briefly, could you tell us what you did and how you became a Christian? Or?
Oh, well, it was a long time ago now. It was 26 years ago. I was dedicated to music. I formed a rap band in Mexico in the 90s called Control Machete. And that band became very popular in all Spanish-speaking countries. We tour around Latin America, even to Europe and the States. And I was about that because my dream was to become an artist and a musician and rapper. And I was about that. And I met a girl that's right there, my wife, Tere. And she told me I'm a Christian. I was like, I'm Fermín, because I didn't know what she meant. And she took me to a church and I heard that God loved me. Because I thought my thinking about God, it was like, if you're bad, then you're disgrace. And if you're good, then God loves you. So when I heard that he loved me, as I was at that time, it blew my mind and I give my life to the Lord. And after a process, he delivered me from drugs, from my style of life. And that was in 1999. Yeah.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You want to see water here? Be more comfortable. Let me move this. Yeah. Big Bible. I heard a few years ago, watching one of the videos at your church, and you were sharing, you were doing the distinctives, and you were sharing how the church started, which I thought was pretty cool, pretty interesting. So could you share a little bit about it? Who was the first believer?
Well, I came to Semilla de Mostaza, and the church was already started like 3 years before we got to the church on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the church began in a house, and the house of María del Sol. María del Sol in Mexico in the 80s was a very famous singer. She still is. And she came to the Lord, and my pastor was commended to teach her the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so she opened her house. That's what they told me about. And she opened her house and started inviting her friends. It's something like Zaqueo.
Zacchaeus,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You opened your house for your friends. So the place, it was full of artists and musicians and singers. And my pastor just loved these people because he has, my pastor's name is Hector Hermosillo, and he has a big problem with lungs and asthma. And this crowd, they were smoking all the time. So he just opened the Bible and just teach him about the love of God. So that became the church, like in a couple months and years. Mm-hmm. The house was packed, and so they were musicians. So my pastor, he also is a guitar player and a music director, and they moved their living rooms so they could fit a band, a full band, and they play music and they praise the Lord, and then he was teaching the Bible. And that well, it grew up and we started, and they started to rent some different places in Mexico City to get together and start a Bible study.
Okay. And yeah, when I was listening to you, I think it was you, I'm not sure, sharing about it, it was pretty funny because of what his lung problem and the people were just there smoking and he was a little bit, his wife was a little bit uncomfortable with that. But anyway. Yeah. And now they moved to a nightclub.
Yeah, we were in a nightclub. It was fun because we had to clean up the mess of the night before. People were there still on Sunday morning.
Oh, really?
So we just, hydrated them and preached the gospel to them. And it was fun. We rented a nightclub and then we moved to other places. We were like a church moving to different places for, I don't know, like 10 years maybe, just setting up and taking all in, all out. And it was fun because the church became a church of servers. That's how you say it, and it was great.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been at the building that you're at now?
Yeah, now we have a building. Well, we rent a place. Mm-hmm. You know it. Yeah. It's very big, and it's right in the city. And we've been there for almost 14 years now. It's great.
Okay. And how many churches have started from that church, like that went out and started?
Well, we started a Bible Institute, Bible Institute in 2008.
Okay.
So when the kids finished their 2 years program, we make three teams and we send it to different places of the city. And they started a Bible study. One of them became a church. Mm-hmm. So it was like 2010 when we started a new church.
Okay.
Right now, there's nine churches that came out of our church. I'm crazy because I train people and I'm not crazy. I just, you know what I mean when I tell you. I train people, I disciple them and then send it away. So we started again
I understand. If you want to say it in Spanish too, then that's fine too, and then I'll translate.
I'm struggling here, but
I'll do it. It's hard going to especially to another language when you just arrived. So you mentioned discipleship. What do you do with discipleship? I know you're very intentional with the believers when they start coming to the church. And I talked to you and to Alvaro. You guys were talking about it when I was there. So I was very impressed. And so just share a little bit of what you do.
Well, years ago, my wife invited a pastor's wife ella venía a discipularlas. ¿Cómo se dice eso?
Okay.
Bueno.
Ella es la esposa de otro pastor.
Ajá, exacto. Okay.
So another pastor's wives were coming to disciple them.
And she started everything like that because they use just a disciple program. It's called Navigators. You know Navigators, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a very simple thing, but very powerful because it gives you like herramientas, tools for your whole life, actually. They teach you how to read the Bible, how to memorize, how to pray, how to
witness.
You know, study the Bible. So it's great. So she started with a couple of women and we saw that growing up. That was like 15 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And we started replicating that with men's and women's groups. And we've been doing for 15 years that. It's great because in Mexico, there's not a lot of churches that disciple that like that. Mm-hmm. They just do a Sunday service and that's it. So we started doing intentionally and groups like that. And we have seen people finish their discipleship, and then they ask, what else? And so the Bible Institute is the next step for them. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing what the Lord has been doing through that. But also, well, you know, you are a Calvary Chapel, so verse by verse and chapter by chapter, it's been a great way to for the whole church to learn who is God. And that's not very common in Mexico, starting teaching the Bible verse by verse and chapter by chapter. Now is more common, but back then, like 20 years ago, it was, other pastors, they see me and they were like, what are you doing teaching Leviticus? And like, well, teaching the Bible, that's what I'm doing, just learning about God. And they were like amazed that we were doing that on a Sunday morning, because churches back then, they weren't teaching verse by verse. Now there's a lot of churches teaching that way.
Okay. You wrote a book on expository preaching. Sorry, it's not in English, but it is in Spanish, and it's, you mention why teach expository or preaching to the younger generation. Could you just explain?
Well, I was invited by a publishing because they know me that I teach the Bible just like that. So they asked me to write a book, and I was doing some expository preaching conferences in different places. So we got all that teachings and put it on the book. So actually, it's a study in Nehemiah 8 and what is before teaching the Bible and during teaching the Bible and after teaching the Bible through Nehemiah 8. Okay. And it's been great. When we were like promoting the book, I did these conferences, and pastors came to me and they were like, we never done this. So where do we start? And how do we do it? And there were people interested in changing their preaching and teaching method. Right now, as I said, there's a lot of pastors that they come to me telling me, oh, we just did Matthew and now we're in Acts and we're going through Romans, and it's very exciting to see that being in Mexico now.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you for sharing. And I guess part of the reason why they don't do it, or one of the reasons, is we don't trust the power of God and of His Word.
Well, when I became to the Lord, I came to the Lord, I met Hector Hermosillo, and he was living in Cuernavaca, and we were thinking about living in Monterrey. But we went to the church, and we learned a lot by receiving that teaching. And in our honeymoon, my wife and I, we were like, we need someone to teach us the Bible. So we went to his house, to Hector's house in Cuernavaca, and he was like, well, move here. And we were like, okay, let's move here. So we moved all our plans, and we went to his house every other day. And the first thing he taught me, how to read the Bible and how to observe it and how to interpret, just the first time, it was Psalm 19.
Okay.
And that stick to my heart very deeply. Más dulce que la miel, más
sweeter than
oro,
honey.
Más que el oro y mucho oro afinado.
More valuable than gold and more than refined gold.
So
like that,
we appreciate the word of God since day one, when I was taught the Psalm 9, 19. So yeah, it is. That's what we see in Mexico City. Like it's hard to believe, but pastors, they don't trust the Bible, and it's sad. Yeah.
Okay. What would you recommend for somebody starting in ministry? What are some of the risks or some of the things that they should be careful of or what they should focus on? Maybe it's a character thing or...
Wow. Well, what we have seen is just go slow. Okay. Don't rush. You don't have to rush. It's crazy, but that I'm telling you things that happened 25 years ago. And now we're here. So go slow. Don't rush. I see a new generation that wants to rush everything and make it happen. Just it's crazy. Well, Mexico City is a big city, and there's coffee shops opening every weekend. And I'm just telling you this as an example.
Yep.
If you want to open a coffee shop, you have to make it big. Like if it is, and this is the thinking that I see in the younger generation. So you have to have a place, and you have to have lights, and you have to have a big band. But my aporte will be just go slow, just teach the Bible and trust what the Lord is going to do in the people, one. And two, just love the people. No? I learned that from my pastor. Just love the people. Just go and love them. I think that's what I want to say.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously growth takes time to become mature. So that's, but we want everything instantly nowadays.
Yeah.
So I guess trusting the Lord for the growth to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the second thing, love the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Love God and love the people. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't love God if he loves you first, you know? I'm reading Romans now in my devotional time. And I was very surprised to see again, Romans chapter 1 and the first verses before the verse 16, and just see how Paul is telling you about the gospel. But before telling you about the gospel, he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus. So we have been sent like Paul. Mm-hmm. And then just a couple verses after, he says, I'm obligated. Yeah. I'm a debtor. No,
I'm a debtor.
And he sees the gospel and preaching the gospel as a command, as a necessity in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. But I see him in the next verse just saying, "Estoy ansioso por compartir el evangelio. I'm eager."
Eager.
So
thank you.
That surprised me yesterday, just coming here in the airport and see that why Paul is eager to preach the gospel. It is a necessity and it is an obligation, mm-hmm. but he has this eager to share it. And I think that Paul is all about Jesus. Él es de Cristo, no?
Yes, he belongs to Jesus,
and that's amazing. So mm-hmm. when you are of Jesus, then you'll be eager to preach the gospel and teach the Bible. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit of what we heard today in the sessions. I think one of the things that they were saying, and Jesus Christ, if you want to be like Christ, this is something that I gathered from what they were saying is. You're going to do things for others. It's others focus, not focus on self. And I guess that's loving the people. So, and Paul understood that. Okay. Well, I think that's it for the questions. I think I had one more, but you covered it, both. Is there anything, we've traveled across Latin America a lot, what are some of the dangers you see in the church, or some warning signs, or something that you would say, be careful with this? And I know you covered this because you said go slow, so that's probably one of them. But is there something else that you can think of, or un peligro?
Well, yeah, the opposite.
Okay.
I see a lot of pastors just trying to do things quickly. Okay. And we sometimes we send people with no character in Jesus, or even people who hasn't been born again. Mm. And I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I see that in a lot of Latin America. We have a Bible Institute, and we have a program for pastors online, and we teach them how to teach the Bible, how to study the Bible, and some of counseling, mm-hmm. and some of that. And I was surprised to see a lot of guys who are pastors because they're parents were, his dad was a pastor and he became the pastor of the church, just like that. Mm-hmm. But they have no idea how to do it or how to just teach the Bible. And I see that a lot. In Latin America, there's a lot of like, tú heredas la iglesia de tu papá.
Mm-hmm. You inherit.
Inherit the church of your dad.
Your dad. Uh-huh.
And I see that, and I see guys who
don't have a calling.
Yeah, they don't have a calling, and it's sad.
Okay. So you have the classes online.
Yeah.
Where would they find it? Was that on your website, on your app, or
yeah, in our website semillamexico.com. Semilla Mexico. We have there the Bible Institute. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for what you do.
No, thank you.
Thank you for putting all the teachings from the church in the app. It's a great resource, especially for those people in Latin America. So, and thank you for sharing and for coming.
Muchas gracias.
Okay.